Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN, on a Tuesday. Welcome to the September 23rd edition of the show. I am here, grateful to be here. John Martin is here, my brother and my partner. He is both local and national multimedia talent, a rising star that continues to rise to heights we've never seen. And that ascension continues. Brad Carson is laughing across the glass. I'm glad to see that laugh. It's good to see it again. He is our producer here, executive producer on the ones and twos. He is also the boss, program director number one in the country, number one in your hearts. Guys, we've got a lot to talk about. I've been gone a while, so hopefully we're going to get a chance to revisit. And I was watching. I wasn't in Simmons Bank. But what a glorious, glorious win that was for Memphis football. My goodness. So hopefully, I know John talked about that yesterday. Hopefully we get a chance to revisit that. Boy, Detroit, last night. Wrapping up the week of NFL football, pushed around the Ravens last night, rushed for 224 yards, four touchdowns. My man, David Montgomery, former Bear, was running all over the Ravens. We'll talk about it. How legit are they? And then did we underestimate Detroit? I know I probably certainly did after week one. Memphis basketball has added one and subtracted one, as we thought would happen. That's now official. We can talk about that. ACC's moving toward a 9-game conference schedule in football like the SEC did. I'm trying to wrap it all up. And, man, I'm sure, again, many of you all saw the response and everything else to my dad's passing. And so, for me to say it was overwhelming, you probably figured that I'd come in here saying something. We are so grateful as a family for the response. Memphis, Central America, because, of course, Dad spent the last 10 years down in Belize. So from Placencia, the response to his passing just was unbelievable. And obviously my dad passed last Wednesday. I'm grateful for the way you guys held it down, what you said, John. You had my brother and me both just crying. We were in tears in that open on Wednesday, and we're so grateful for that. But just you guys helped lift us up out of it, turn it from grief to celebration. And that's an important right? That's an important step in terms of healing. And so as prepared as your boy thought he was for, what was probably likely when my dad got back from Belize, we knew he was in bad shape. It still was tough, as you can imagine, for any son losing his dad. Mm. But we are so grateful. I am filled with joy today. It has filled me up over the time that I've been gone. I come back and I'm hopeful that I can pour it back in to the city that my dad loved so much. I don't have anything prepared. I'm just speaking from the heart, but thank you would be the words. And I guess I'll just go ahead here because it makes sense to. If I revisit this, who knows? I could absolutely break down. Dad's service is going to be next Friday, October 3rd at 10 a.m. over at the National Civil Rights Museum. And we are so thankful, grateful, humbled that Dr. Russell Wigginton, the president over at the Civil Rights Museum, John, don't cry, because we're going to hold it together.
I'm trying not to look at you.
We can't both do it. The president down at the Civil Rights Museum, Dr. Russell Wigginton, has opened up the doors of that sacred place, that sacred institution for this service for Dad next Friday, October 3rd, 10 a.m. I'm sorry it's on a work day, guys. Yeah, right in the middle.
I am so glad we
would take any day at the Civil Rights Museum. You know, Dad didn't have a home church, obviously been in Belize the last 10 years. My little tiny church, God would love it, couldn't probably fit even Dad's family coming down from Missouri. So the fact that we're getting to do this there, that was just, an honor. And my brother and I are eternally grateful to Dr. Wigginton for opening the doors and everybody down at the Civil Rights Museum that's going to be a part of that service. So I needed to say all that.
Yeah.
And again, the message is thank you.
Yeah.
Because seemingly, I mean, Dad clearly touched a lot of folks over the years. You talked about 8,000 stories just Fox 13. He worked for every television station in town. Told a lot of stories. Tell you what, a lot off air too, just in the bar at Zinni's in Midtown, us growing up and in those booths talking to everybody in Memphis. And it felt like everybody that he had talked to or touched back in terms of saying, man, your dad was he was one of the good ones.
Yep.
He was a great man. And so I thank you again, because it seemed like you guys poured that love back into the Smith family during the time we were out and grieving. And so, John, Brad, I thank you too. And, we're going to have that service, and it's going to be a celebration.
Yeah.
Next Friday, a celebration.
It's a fitting venue for Les Smith. There is no doubt about that, who was a giant in the game here in Memphis. And, you know, like I said on the show, man, it's your dad's support of you, but then, you know, through osmosis, me.
Absolutely.
And the show.
Yeah.
It was a very powerful thing, man, and it was genuine. He genuinely was just so proud of you, man, so proud of you and so proud of the journey that you took. And, you know, I think as men, that's one of the most profound things that we can feel, I think, is knowing that we make our dad specifically proud.
Absolutely.
And, like, some dads out there, man, they don't necessarily do a good job of expressing that. Your dad was.
He was great
at letting you know.
That was something we knew while he was alive, and I tell you what, it goes right over to and he doesn't get, we don't talk about him a ton because Jeff's always about his business. He now owns a construction business. He's he's an entrepreneur, and he's all about that work, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so, you know, he's been not necessarily in the spotlight.
Yep.
As gone a different path. Certainly than his brother did and then his dad did.
Yep.
And we, Dad would tell Jeff, and it's so important because we spend so much time talking about, second generation journalists, me and Dad's relationship, how proud he was, just as proud as me for following sort of into his footsteps in terms of media, but for Jeff for carving out his own path. It's the more difficult thing.
Yeah.
You know, it helped that my dad had been in the business.
Of course.
In terms of folks and their what do you want to say? You know, what they thought about me beforehand
just
or anything
first impression.
Else. It absolutely helped. Yeah. Oh, you're the son of Les.
Right.
That helps open some doors.
Yep.
I'd be lying if I said it didn't. Now, you go about, you got to prove yourself and everything else. That's another story.
Exactly.
But set that to the side. Jeff.
Yeah.
Him doing it on his own.
Yeah.
Him going into a world that we didn't know.
Yeah.
Especially talking about ownership.
Yep.
Made Dad so proud. And again, Jeff rarely listens to the show. That's why to see him so moved by your words Wednesday really moved me. But I, even if he's not listening, I'm sure he's not, but I want folks to know that Dad was just as proud of his younger son because of how he had gone about his business, his own business, and then gone on to own a business here in Memphis. And so I needed to say that because Jeff doesn't get a lot of the shine sometimes
or maybe as
much of the spotlight.
For sure.
You know?
For sure.
But he has been, in really all the ways, the most successful son of Les Smith.
No, well said, man. It really reminds me so much of me and my brother. I'm the older brother. I'm the older brother that went to the media route and is on the radio every day and is public, quote unquote.
Public, yes.
But
yes.
My brother didn't do the college thing. He didn't do the, media thing.
Right.
He's doing the, 9 to 5, 8 to 6 thing.
Yeah.
But he's killing it.
Yes.
He's crushing it.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, I've 100% feel exactly where you're coming from, man. And And yeah, shout out to Jeff. And I wanted to make sure that when I was talking about your dad, that I talked about Jeff because he's feeling that pain too.
Especially you talk about pride, and you mentioned it as the father of two girls
yes.
that raised them on his own.
Yeah.
Single dad,
yep.
solo dad, raised two twin girls on his own. That was another aspect of him.
No,
raising kids long before I was, teaching me how to be a father, you know, my younger brother.
Yes.
Just another part of the successful man that he is.
We're going to do a show today, and I'm excited to do a show today. But one last point that I want to make about Jeff and your dad, because I think it's important for Jeff to hear this. A lot of people tweeted you and responded to you, and this is absolutely right. And they said, "Man, you're such a legacy of your dad you are the best thing he has done." So is Jeff.
Absolutely.
So is Jeff. He's not doing the media thing. But he is just as much a testament yep. to Les's legacy.
Folks just don't know his story as well.
That's exactly
right.
That's
the key. Because he hasn't lived in the public eye.
When you do the things that Jeff has done in his life,
yep.
and I mean, being a, you know this, having mom in the home raising kids is unbelievably difficult.
Absolutely.
Let alone doing it as a man raising two girls.
Twin girls.
I mean, it's almost unfathomable.
Right. And they have graduated from Memphis, University of Memphis, and we are so proud of them. And again, that doesn't happen if Jeff isn't laying a foundation that's going to allow them to still succeed. 100%. You know,
it's amazing.
In a one parent household. So
it truly is amazing.
I appreciate you saying that. And yeah, man. In a lot of ways, I'm so proud of him, of Jeff, because he one more thing. Dad was he was one of five brothers. Real quick story. They grew up in a humble beginnings, basically in Fulton, Missouri, town of 10,000-11,000. And Dad is the one brother who ventured out to sort of the unknown. The family, all four brothers, still in Fulton.
Yeah.
And they've lived there till this day. But Dad was sort of the one that decided, the oldest of the five, decided, I'm gonna take off. I'm gonna get out of here. I'm gonna go chase my dream and everything else. Sort of left the familiarity
yep.
of what the family knew, yep. which was this small town where everybody knew him and everything else. And that's what Jeff has done, in a way, in terms of again. Going and finding his own path. And so I had no idea we would end up here, but I'm so glad that we did.
Yeah.
Because again, you know, for me, I could see the path because I'd seen the success, seen my dad on television and everything else. What Jeff is embarking on, something we've never done before, sort of like Dad leaving Fulton, you know, going out to, ended up in Florida. We moved to Memphis in the early, but moving out and, you know, hey, I'm going to go make a life, but it's going to be elsewhere. It's going to be in the unknown. Jeff has done that.
Yep.
That course, I don't think I could have followed, you know, my own. And so, again, just more reason why Dad was so proud of him.
Yeah.
Because Jeff broke it off and did it himself.
He did.
You know, unlike with the family business in the sense that was media and everything else, that might have been a little bit easier, at least to see the vision.
Absolutely.
To see the vision. So thank you again to you two, to 92, to Nicole for giving me all the time here, our boss here at 92.9 and here at the radio station. But thank you, Memphis. And then, you know, thank you all the way down to Placencia, Belize. The dude is crazy. He's 75 years, man. You'd think the guy didn't, he must have spent every second pouring in or talking to somebody with the level of response that he got.
Yeah.
People say that the world doesn't stop, right, when you lose someone. The birds keep churning, it keeps turning. But man, because of y'all.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, I wrapped myself up in it. Facebook and everything people were saying about that. It felt like it stopped for a minute. And boy, you had quite the life. If that can be the case, so thank you guys. I know I'm gonna be a mess at his service.
Yeah,
because I gotta. My pastor's like, you gotta do the eulogy.
Yeah.
So man.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough.
At first, I was like, of course I'm gonna do it. That's what I talk. I talk for a living.
Yeah.
I'm a deacon in the church. Just makes sense. You do the eulogy. Then a couple of days, I'm like. Maybe I can back out of this. I'd be a blubbering mess if I'm up there talking about my dad.
You start to put down the words,
bro.
You know?
The words themselves, just writing a few that I thought I might say, yeah. Bro, that was bringing me to tears. They call me the weeping deacon at church. I already cried because of how grateful to God I am for what He's done. Ask my pastor. I'm not making this up.
That's awesome.
Imagine combining that. You're grateful, God,
yeah.
and then okay, gotta eulogize your dad. I'm gonna pray for strength from God. That we get through that, and that I don't embarrass you guys in terms of being up there and being a mess.
No.
But I'm gonna need his strength and his even more of his spirit to get through that one. That's gonna be a That's going to be as emotional as it gets. But I appreciate, again, thank you, because even this has helped me.
Oh, absolutely.
Even this has been a part, it feels like, already for me in terms of healing, drawing joy again from his life, as opposed to, you know, mourning. I've been going through that process.
For sure.
You guys gave me the time, thankfully.
We'd love to give you more time if you need it.
I'm ready to celebrate, and I'm ready to talk sports. And again, thank you, Memphis, for everything you've done for the Smith family.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope you know how much, you know, we care about you, how much I love you.
I saw it, brother.
How much you mean to me. Obviously, it wasn't even a question. It was an automatic thing to power through and do the show. I mean, I got to pay my bills, too, bro.
Man.
I mean, it wasn't just about you. But
for a minute there, I thought Brad was going to have to go to commercial. I didn't know if you were going to make it through.
I barely did. I did about 10 minutes.
You pulled it together.
It wasn't my plan.
To move the rock, that is not to talk. Oh, I need to let you talk. I'm sorry. I've had so much to say.
No, I don't know. Please.
I interrupt you so much. I got to calm that down. But to move the rock emotionally, that is my brother. That's hard to do, bro. And so, again, tremendous job by you, and especially, and you're doing it in the immediate. Imagine me having days to think about this and come out before I'm talking about it. You're doing it in the immediate. Very difficult thing to do. I know how much you loved him, and we're so appreciative.
Yeah, I mean, because I just think about, you know, when we started the show, you know, we needed all the love and support that we could get, bro. Like, we did.
Kind of used them like I used them during my media career. opening up a door or two. Having a old familiar name, Les Smith, doing Bets from Belize.
Every Friday we had that, and it might have been a small thing to him, but it was a big thing to me that he would be a part of it for us, just trying to get off the ground and then just being a part of the show. I mean, he's your dad. I work with you every single day, man. It's like I feel like I'm working with him. Obviously, he's not my dad, but I just felt a very close connection to him, and because of that.
Oh, I think he definitely, and he expressed it to you, a father-son relationship with you. And to start, man, we were looking for every ounce. We were trying to scrape together every ounce of credibility that we could in the spot that we were
100%.
Starting this show.
Yep.
Especially coming behind in the shoes of Chris Martin.
That's real.
They were huge shoes, and so we were looking for every ounce of credibility we pull into.
No
old Les Smith, is he down in Belize? Making do a betting segment. So again, back to the guy was he was just as supportive as a dad as there ever was, and he was that all the way through.
Yeah,
all the way through.
I'm glad we got you back. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we're talking about Les, and he was a giant of a man, and I look forward to celebrating his life. And I think that's the important thing, right? Is like you're celebrating the life.
Absolutely,
that's what he was part of it. He would want us to celebrate.
Right.
He would want us
to party man.
You know, that's so. I don't
party
know.
Man.
I don't think you'll be partying.
I don't think Dr. Wigginton, the president down at the Civil Rights Museum, would appreciate us dancing in the aisles
and
up out of our seats. But I kind of think.
Yeah.
That's probably how, you know, Les would probably love something like that if
yep.
we played some of that old, you know, his old karaoke music or some spinners or something. Tiny Whiny. You guys played that. That would bring some joy. Again, I don't know if the civil rights, if it would be appropriate down in those,
I mean,
down those hallowed
what
grounds.
What a send off.
Well,
man.
It ain't done yet, bro. I could really mess it up with the eulogy. So let's wait till and see.
Yeah,
let's wait and see if it. But think are you talking about a place
yeah.
to do it?
No, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, we can't believe it. Jeff and I are honored. We can't believe that we're you know they're doing something for Dad down that they've opened their doors to.
I think you do need to make sure.
Unbelievable.
I'm not trying to edit the eulogy, but I do think it's important to put in there his against the spread record in Bets from Belize.
Oh yeah,
he had a winning record.
How's that possible?
I don't know, man. But he did.
Like you said, he was getting pretty out of touch. He was losing track of the names and everything else.
I don't quite remember. I remember it started just like he couldn't miss. And then, it evens out over the course of the. But he was certainly not a fade. He was.
No.
You couldn't fade Les Smith, man. It didn't matter if he knew the players or not.
Couldn't
all right.
fade Les Smith.
He knew the spots.
Yep.
Anyway, we're going to miss him a lot. We're going to miss him a lot. And we'll do our best to, you know, honor his legacy every day on this show. You know,
yes,
like
sir.
He would want, we're going to have some fun. We're going to party. We're going to celebrate.
Yes, next
Friday, we're gonna lay him to rest and send him off the way he deserves.
Appreciate that.
So it's good to have you back, brother. I love you.
Love you, too.
Let's do this show. We'll come back. Jessica Benson is going to join us on the other side. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 China FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt on Grind City Media, catch her on the Grizz Radio Network, and catch her on the Grizz Radio Network very soon because Grizz Media Day is next week. She joins us now. Are you ready?
Oh, I am I am ready in spirit. Now I just need to get ready in like practicality and setting up and all of the things that I've procrastinated on until this last week going into Media Day.
Yeah, you took some, some time, Tuscany,
I did.
Europe,
some
jaunt.
Good trips.
Did you go somewhere else recently? You went to Alabama, kind of like Tuscany. Tuscaloosa, Tuscany.
The Tuscany of the South.
Yeah.
Yeah, T-U-S-C, just change the ending of the word. They're one and the same.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so, Cedric Coward said he got cleared this week. So he was at the Redbirds game, and he's been cleared. He got cleared last month. How important is he going to be to this season?
I think he's a real ceiling elevator, where if he is ahead of schedule from a rookie standpoint, he can really elevate the Grizzlies into a place of assured, I won't say contention in the West per se, but at least fighting for a home court advantage in the playoffs and definitely making sure that you're out of the play-in tournament. But I also don't think it's a necessity per se that he jumps into that place immediately, right? Like there's some flexibility at the position as they can roll with a Scottie Pippen Jr. in cases, Ty Jerome, KCP was added for this reason. So there's not like a no help zone for Cedric Coward. But if he comes in and plays to the ability that people were talking about his chances of playing as we led up to the draft process and what ultimately led to the Grizzlies knowing that if they wanted him, they had to move up in the draft to take him, then sure, you're looking at a season that perhaps is operating a little ahead of schedule in this kind of reset following the Desmond Bane trade and the all-in buy-in on Jaw and Jaren and the future of this team from there.
What would be the question you most want answered in terms of going into Media Day for Jessica Benson?
Yeah, I asked Mike Wallace this on my show this morning, and his answer was the exact same that mine would be, which is, when will we see Zach Edey on the basketball court again? Coming out of the ankle sprain surgery, we now know about Cedric Coward. I would be shocked, while we don't know for sure the status of Jaren Jackson Jr. going into this season. He has been out and about. We have seen him moving. We'll find out officially on Monday what that looks like. But from everything that has swirled around Jaren, I think he's at least operating on schedule, if not ahead of schedule, from coming back from his injury. And so that rests on Zach Edey. And, Edey was ranked 88th on the ESPN Top 100 rankings going into the season. And you could make an argument of him being perhaps the third most important player on this Grizzlies team. And that will start with his ability to be on the court. So I think that's my greatest, I wouldn't say concern, but just question mark going into this year. Is it looking at an early return for Zach Edey, or is this something we're evaluating more in the December, January side of things?
I will say there was, sometimes you got to catch a break, and that happens at the expense of other teams. But,
You know, you see the news that Fred VanVleet for the Houston Rockets has torn his ACL. Yeah. He's out for the year. I mean, Houston was undeniably a team ahead of the Grizzlies. That's a huge piece for them to lose. So, you know, sometimes, you know, it's good to get a little help. I mean, I hate it for Fred VanVleet, but, like, it's good to get – because you're going to need it. It's a new roster. It's a new – we don't necessarily know. This definitely, to me, brings Houston – because they don't have a true point guard. I mean, they're going to be leaning on Reed Shepard. I mean, so it brings you down to the pack a little bit, in my opinion.
Right. Suddenly it turns to a, all right, we hope this works out in putting more on – a Reed Shepherd and the continued ascension of what Amon Thompson can be for them. But yeah, you don't know. And to lose someone who isn't just your floor general, but also has massive leadership for that team. And I know he doesn't just disappear into thin air, like he'll still be around the team, but it's a big change. I was kind of surprised on the off-season survey that ESPN put out yesterday that when it came to the anonymous naming of who would contend in the East versus the West, the East had a number of teams. The West, the only teams who received votes were the Thunder and the Nuggets. And I was surprised that the Rockets didn't get a little bit of recognition there. And that happened before the Fred VanVleet injury happened. So this just takes one more turn. And Kevin Durant now goes to another new team where you're dealing with injury and an uncertainty at a position. So I definitely think it has a pretty big impact for the Rockets.
How closely are we going to be watching the Ja Isolo relationship, right? And especially after, you know, maybe even in a, you know, for at least for me, you know, Taylor and how he coached Ja there towards the end, you wondered if it ever changed, if his style with Ja ever changed, if it stayed the same. How closely are we watching that? And it does feel like, I mean, you said Edie's availability is super important, but this relationship between him and Isolo, and making sure that Ja is the guy that's, you know, steering everything and that he's in those, you know, in that vibe and in that mode you want him, feels so important as well. We're going to have it under a microscope, aren't we?
Yeah, and adapting to the offense, and we saw some of it with the Isolo hire, or at least the interim hire at the end of last season, and the difference in system. And honestly, Zach Edey plays a massive part in that, and using him in the pick and roll with Ja. And we've seen Ja's ability to play well with a big, whether it be Edey or in the past Steven Adams or Jonas Valanciunas, and how that just opens up the floor for him. So I think we'll appropriately be looking at that relationship, just because anytime you have a star player with the assumed power that comes with being a star within an organization, people are always quick to put a bit of a microscope on that player and that head coach's relationship.
Yep.
And yet, I think, you know, you also have to give something time. Now, I do think from the standpoint of Isolo having already been on the staff, there's already an understanding of expectations of what that kind of the foundation of that relationship is already in place, as opposed to when you have a situation with a coach coming in from the outside. So I think that's a really positive thing. And ultimately, though, like for Ja this year, the biggest microscope we'll have on Ja Morant is how many games he plays.
No doubt.
Right? Like so much of this season rests on the availability of Ja and the what I believe to be a true opportunity for him to reassert himself as one of the premier players in the NBA. And we saw it from a marketability standpoint, surely this offseason, both with his shoe and with his tour to China and all the investments from Nike. Now it's a matter of being back on the court, having an abundance of the magical moments that we've seen Ja Morant have here at FedEx Forum every season. But just making sure that, you know, he's playing 65 games, like that would be a real good indicator of a positive season for the Grizzlies.
We're talking to Jessica Benson, host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurd on Grind City Media. Grizzlies did announce this morning that they'll be holding the 4-day training camp in Nashville for a second consecutive year. I guess I will say that I am at least proud that there doesn't seem to be much outrage about this on social media. Like I was expecting some, maybe the mob hasn't woken up yet. I don't know. But it at least seems like people are like, yeah, whatever. As long as you don't move the team to Nashville, we'll be fine.
I think that's fair. And at the end of the day, it's just training camp, right? Like they're still going to have their open practice here in Memphis. It's not like that gets shifted to Nashville. So fans will have the opportunity to be the first ones to come out and see the team the weekend going into the first preseason game on the 6th. So I'm glad people are being rational with it. It's just players in a gym trying to stay focused, and sometimes teams do this where they go to a city outside of their home base city to try to kind of create the real camp experience for everyone involved, and from the bonding off the court, on the court, everything in between.
Your expectations for Memphis football, have they changed following the big win over Arkansas on Saturday, or do they remain the same for you? Have you adjusted at all based on this 4-0 start?
Yeah, I think they fairly adjust from a standpoint of you don't have to go crazy, as we all tend to do in the sports world sometimes, but you just look at the window of opportunity that opens just a crack wider in getting a win over an SEC team. And I know ultimately it doesn't, you know, matter in terms of the quest to win the American and make it to the American championship game, but it does set a tone and it does change the national perception on this team. And you have people talking about Memphis as the potential non-power conference representative in the college football playoff. So just the fact that, you know, kind of the old adage, you're saying there's a chance. Well, yeah, today there's a much greater chance of that happening than there was before they beat Arkansas. And so you want to, you know, really appreciate the celebration of what was a great day in the city. I was out at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. I was happy to be there. It had been a minute since we had what felt like a true moment for Memphis football that everyone could rally around. And now you look ahead to the rest of an American schedule that's just littered with like ticking time bombs that could be the thing that kind of knocks it all off its axis. And everyone knows the hardest thing to do is to win out, to go undefeated in a season. But you really do have to take it the old cliche, one game at a time, because the worst thing would be to beat Arkansas and then you go drop one to FAU this weekend.
There were so many great performances. Who would you have given the game ball to in the locker room afterwards if you were caught up in the hype?
Man, oh, that's I'm the person who would be like, can we cut it into three parts and give one to Bracey for the fumble force and one to Maiden for the insane strength of dragging an SEC line with him to the first down. And then like, you have to give some to Sutton Smith too, because he ran all over that Arkansas defense. I guess probably the Bracey for the fumble. That's the real sealer of that game. Even though, I mean, you could argue that the Maiden run is what technically sealed it, but Arkansas was felt destined to score in that position. And without the Bracey forced fumble, you don't know what you're looking at. So I guess if I had to give it to one, I would give it to him.
Yeah. What was the best part? Like, there were lots of moments. There were lots of moments that, you know, which one would you pick out as like it was just the most fun?
The fumble. Because the whole, like, energy of a crowd, when you're sitting in a crowd at a game, it's very fun to watch on TV, too. Like, don't get me wrong. I love sitting on my couch and watching football. But when you're in the masses and you can feel the energy shift from, oh, no, I don't think my team is going to win this game, to, oh, my God, I cannot believe that just happened. That's one of the most fun things about sports. And just feeling the shift that happens in a stadium like that. That, and then I would also couple it with, honestly, the touchdown at the end of the first half was like a lifesaver, because that place was close to dead. Because you go down to 18 at half, and people were hot, and it's early, and people were fading, and it was going to feel a whole lot different to be down 18 than down 11 after that Braham touchdown, even if there was a little offensive pass interference on that. But you know what? That happens in sports sometimes. So I would go the fumble or that moment going into halftime.
How are we feeling about Brendan Lewis? And the gamer he seems to be. I mean, that was – I realize, you know, we can pick apart the passing stats, and I know a lot of people have done that. I mean, I guess the NFL example of that would be Jalen Hurts, sort of. But the guy gets it done, and certainly he had some huge runs there to open up Arkansas. How are we feeling about Brendan Lewis? Is he going to be the guy that leads Ryan Silverfield to his first conference championship after all those years of having Seth, and we thought it would get done there?
Well, it's so crazy because you're watching it, and in the first half – some of those missed throws, you're thinking, I don't know if he can be the guy who gets Ryan Silverfield to his first championship. But then you're reminded, like, that's why you want a dual threat quarterback. That's why you want a gamer. You want someone who can run, because he's able to pick up some of those just huge short runs, explosive plays. It ends up with, you know, 100 yards on the ground. And it's what you really can rely on in today's game. And so talk about a tone shift. And to his credit as well, coming into that second half, I thought he was much more on his P's and Q's, had some better throws, better reads, and seemed to kind of adjust to the game as it came to him too. So I'm way higher on Brendan Lewis today than I was going into the weekend. I think he had a lot to prove in that game. The Memphis offense in its totality did, but he stepped up to it and got it done.
Yeah. I just hope that, you know, people respond. You know, that's what I hope. Like, you know, those games against South Florida and Tulane, I mean, I was talking to somebody about this
off the air, and they were skeptical that they would be sellouts. But I hope that that Memphis proves that person wrong. I mean, you're talking about a playoff. I mean, you're in the hunt for a playoff, man. If we can't get 35,000 people out there for a meaningful playoff implication game, I'm going to have to strip Sports Town moniker from Memphis. I'm sorry, I'm just going to have to do it.
I know. It is so disappointing that they're not on Saturdays, you know?
Is like, that true? They're both? Just, neither of them are on Saturday?
I know Tulane's on a Friday. I think South Florida's on a Thursday?
Really? October the 25th.
I might be wrong. I might be wrong. No. South Florida's on a Saturday. Tulane's on a Friday.
Yeah,
sorry.
Okay. All right. So quit trying to build in excuses for these people. All right, get your ass down there, Saturday and Friday. I think the Friday is like Black Friday, right?
No, that's
okay.
In November. That's after Thanksgiving. Yeah. And Memphis plays on Thanksgiving.
Isn't that Black Friday?
Navy.
It's after Thanksgiving.
Isn't Black Friday the Friday after Thanksgiving? Okay, I don't know when it is. Anyway.
Yeah. Black Friday is the Friday after Thanksgiving, but that's not the Tulane game.
Oh, okay.
Tulane's like November 7th.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
We're struggling on the schedule here. Anyway, bottom line,
we're locked
who cares
in.
What day it is? Get out there, support the team. I'd be out there if I could. I know the Tulane game, I'm fairly certain there's a Grizzlies game that day, so right. I'll be there in spirit.
Look at us. We're telling people to go out to the game. We don't even know when the hell they are. I mean, that's
who
really
are we
good.
To talk?
Well, educate me, Jess.
I will say, I had a great time at the game.
I was going to say, like, I asked you about that.
It was just wonderful.
What was the Memphis-Arkansas percentage of fans for me? Educate me.
I thought it was like 70-30.
Okay.
And I went into it thinking it would be 60-40. So I thought there were more Memphis fans than I expected. There was a lot of red. Good traveling Arkansas fan base, not trying to come down on them. But I thought there was a heavy support of the home team with Memphis Blue. We all single-filedly walked down onto the field after the game. It was lovely.
What were they nice?
Yeah, they helped me down.
Okay. Yeah. Because I do think there are certain SEC fan bases who would help you down, and I think there are certain SEC fan bases that would push you.
No, they were quite nice. They like stepped out of the way. They made sure people were getting through. At least the ones in my section.
Right.
They were nice.
No, I think Arkansas is like, you know, there's no pretense about who they are. Like, they know they're fully aware that they were going to come in here and possibly lose to Memphis. So when it actually happens, I don't think they were like feeling any type of way about it. But, you know, there are some SEC fan bases that trash their own field, that throw garbage onto their own field and are...
Sure, I've seen it with my own eyes.
In many ways, reprehensible human beings. I don't want to say any names. I don't want to say any. They know who they are. They know exactly who they are. But that's good to hear. And the only hope that I have is that they continue to happen, although I don't believe that these games will continue to happen. So that's a trade you make, though, right? Hey, we win, we don't play anymore. But it beats the alternative to me.
Yeah, that you lose and you're seen as a like patty cake game that they wouldn't mind scheduling.
That's right.
So, yeah.
That's right. All right, Jessica, you're the greatest of all time. Enjoy
Thanks,
the
guys.
Enjoy the Memphis football game on October 25th and November 7th.
Thank you,
I can't right. wait. And all the ones in between.
That's right.
Okay, Thanks. Bye. Yep.
Thank you.
She is Jessica Benson. Joins us every Tuesday here on the show. Yeah, I could not get out there on Saturday, unfortunately, but I do plan to be out there. I will announce my attendance before I go, but I do plan to be out there. Now, regardless of whether – this isn't a bandwagon thing. I go out there 2 to 3 times a year anyway, regardless of going to playoff or not. I think South Florida is a guarantee. Guarantee I'll be there for that one. I'm willing to lock that one right now.
We are grateful.
As a fan.
Also, I tweeted it, but it needs to be said. Shout out to Ryan Silverfield.
Man, did a great job. Did a great job.
Also, shout out to Jordan Hankins.
Shout out to Jordan Hankins.
Whose defenses continue at Memphis continue to improve. He's up in the 50s now at SP Plus.
Yep.
Defensively, Tigers are 54th in terms of defensive efficiency. They are 13th offensively, which still blows my mind that they're that high. Now, a lot of this based on preseason rankings and some of the preseason rankings based on past. What is clear is that a defense that 2 years ago was in the hundreds has now made great strides up to 54. It's not just all, you know, getting turnovers and everything else either. They are making plays behind the line of scrimmage.
Oh yeah.
And continuing to create chaos in a way I didn't think they'd be able to against Arkansas. And so that defense, and it's something I've continued, that's essentially what's kept them sort of out. if you wanted to bottom line it, of a conference championship.
Yep.
Is that side of the ball and those plays, those few stops you haven't got against the UTSAs and the Navies, man, much improved on that side of the ball. Not easy to do when you've got mostly an entirely new cast.
No, you're exactly right. I will say we were having this exact same conversation around this time last year. Like almost like
after Florida State.
Yeah. Like shout out to Jordan Hankins, shout out to the defense, shout out to Memphis football. They have the inside track to the playoff. And then, of course, you know, they lose to Navy and they lose to UTSA. Well, so
that's the part Ryan's got to get down.
Hopefully this will be different. But, you know, they do kind of – it's not these games they struggle with. You know, it's the ones that you don't really see coming.
Yes, but – and as critical as I've been, I probably need to jump back on. Again, to be consistently good in these spots, to have your team this ready,
yeah,
especially what Jess said, that score right before the half,
oh yeah,
was huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it looked like you're about to fold up.
Yep.
And that response there late was certainly, you know, helped with momentum in terms of that second half and everything else, in terms of guys believing.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And so it you know, I don't want to get numb to big win. And the difference a little bit with Florida State, sure, Arkansas might fire its coach and everything else. Florida State had a miserable season last year. But that offense is one of the best in the SEC.
Right.
And you lasted. You held up against it in a way that makes me think, you know what, yeah, you're healthy enough. This should not just be a year where you and I said, you got to get to the conference championship game, a year where you can win it. And after watching South Florida those first 2 weeks, I started to doubt whether Memphis was good enough defensively to do that. Now I feel like, you know what, this could be the year. And so, you know, needs to be said, yes, he's you're right. The work is now in the next ones and then these AAC games. That's where the real work for Ryan Silverfield is in terms of licking this thing, finally getting to a conference championship. But that was a fantastic – had his team prepared, then had his team ready to make adjustments, poised, good response. And then Brendan Lewis, man, just making plays even sometimes when he's not playing well, just somehow come through with a play for you, open things up.
No, I'm glad you said that. We shouldn't gloss over it. They were seven 7.5-point underdogs at home. Like they were, you know, the expectation was that Memphis would get beaten handily.
Well, and what we've said are these. And listen, it's not going to get you in the Big 12, but what we've said are these are the moments that you can now get right because of your spot, because of the investment level at Memphis, because of your spot in the American. You can take advantage of these opportunities, but you have to cash in when you get them. And so being on ABC 11 a.m. against an SEC opponent, that's a big way to build your brand up nationally. And you heard it. Like every time, you know, whether it was ESPN or whatever else, we saw a college football show the rest of the day, it was about Memphis being the best group of five team.
Yep.
That's what you – and so you've captured that. Now you just have to cash in. And you have to do it in these games against Florida Atlantic. And you know, that those are the ones. We've all circled South Florida and Tulane at home, Navy at home, but it's those other ones that have sort of been the stub in terms of your toe and not getting to a conference.
Like,
so you got to take care of that business. It's clearly.
Not, you know, it's not this weekend. But, like, there are some out there, like, at East Carolina. I mean, that's going to be a tough one.
They're 2-2, right?
Yeah. Like, you're not going to lose to Rice. Come on. You're not going to lose to UAB.
No. Those are wins.
You know, Navy at home, I think by the end of the season, that could end up being a stub your toe game because Navy could be out of it, but they could be playing to end your playoff hopes, right? But it's at home. I mean, really, it is set up so beautifully for Memphis this year.
That's why the computers at ESPN have them as the favorite, and they did during the game.
Like
even before the win.
I mean, I guess Memphis could just lose to South Florida on October 25th, and that'd be the end of it. But, you know, it just doesn't seem like – you know, last year you had Navy, last year you had to go to UTSA. Like, those road games aren't, like, at Rice, at UAB, come on. Like, they're just not out there. FAU, you're a 13.5-point favorite. You're a massive favorite over them.
Tulane doesn't play South Florida. That's going to end up being important, it feels like.
Because they may, you're saying they may need that? Or is it better for them if they don't play?
Because that you avoid a loss, right?
Right?
It's going to be about who has the fewest in terms of that championship game, trying to get there with one or zero.
They do, but the trade-off is they have to come here, right? Like, they have to come to Memphis. They do play Army.
Do they get Navy?
They do not play Navy.
Well, hold on. Am I wrong about South Florida and it's Navy they miss?
No, they don't play either one of those teams.
Dude.
They don't play South Florida or Navy.
I mean, that's it's only about record now.
That's why they're still the favorite, probably.
in terms of the odds.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you were talking about yesterday.
That's because their schedule is pretty. I mean, it's soft. I mean, they get their hardest game is they got to come here. I mean, they do go to UTSA, but UTSA has just been kind of a disappointment this year.
Bro, I know they didn't look good against Ole Miss, but that looks like one loss to me.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we are banking on it being Memphis. That's
yeah.
Yeah, they have a big advantage now in not playing those teams.
You know who else they don't play? North Texas.
They're 4-0. North Texas is 4-0.
Now, Memphis don't play North Texas either. Who the hell does play North Texas? I mean, it's kind of nuts. Like, North
they
Texas.
They have to play Navy.
North Texas has the path, bro. While we
they must play South Florida.
Let's see. North Texas plays South Florida at home October the 10th. They host Navy.
You had to at least get two of them.
Yeah, I mean, here's the other problem, is that North Texas has an unbelievable schedule. They play South Florida at home. They play Navy at home. They play UTSA at home. They play Charlotte, UAB, and Rice on the road. And then they close with Temple at home. So, like while we're having this conversation about Memphis, like, North Texas has kind of the same setup. Like, they don't have to play U. They don't have to play Tulane. They get South Florida and UTSA at the house. So that's the problem. It's like it's very crowded. Like, tiebreakers could come into this.
I know they're at home, but you have to play the three toughest teams.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't think anyone else can say that.
No.
If they include you.
Texas has two of the three.
Two of the three.
But they don't have all three.
Right.
Like, they don't. Or like, if they had Tulane, you would say it's even. But they don't. They don't have you, or they don't have Tulane. So, yes, I would say Memphis, despite having the home games, probably has the most difficult, but, you know, you still feel pretty good about those games being here.
That's why Vegas has them third.
Correct. And there's been a little money that's come in on Memphis in the last couple of days. I think it's down to 380. It was 400. Now it's 380. But
the defensive improvement is what gives me the most hope that this, you know, that even with that schedule, having to play those three tough teams in the American, that you can come out of this and make that championship game.
Yeah. Yes.
Brendan Lewis has been good enough. Offense been good enough. Run game's been dynamic like we thought it would be and needed to be. But the defensive improvement, you know, from basically 80th last year, you're, what we say, 53rd, 54th, and that's coming off of a game against an SEC offense that's one of the best in the SEC. I know it's had fumble issues late in games, but that's one of the best offenses in the SEC.
Yep.
That's been just as much the story.
Yep.
So, was it second year for Jordan Hankins?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
He was the interim right in the bowl game against Iowa State.
That's exactly right. Last year, gets him from 110 or whatever up to 80, and now he's got him up 30 more spots.
Yep.
That's significant improvement in 2 years on the defensive side under Jordan Hankins.
Yep.
Looking like a really good move by Ryan to put him there. You wondered if some of it was just, okay, I can create some chaos, blitz, blitz, blitz early. People will get hip to it. It's working a second year even better, more efficiently than the first, obviously.
Yeah. We got a lot to get to. We got some NFL quarterback news to talk about. There's been a change at a starting quarterback spot already, and we're not even in the fourth week of the season. Get into that. College basketball Titan retiring, and the process and all of that very much been scrutinized. But a lot to get to here on the show. Stick around. Jason and John, Adetrana Femi, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.